Thank you, Steve, and good morning. We welcome you this morning as you're joining us on Palm Sunday. Happy Palm Sunday as we begin our journey into Holy Week today. If you're watching online, we welcome you this morning as well and glad you are with us. If you did not get a palm when you came in today, make sure you get one. We'll be encouraging you to wave the palms during the different songs that will be sung today as we celebrate Palm Sunday and as we come forward and as we just think about what this week means, that today that when Jesus went in on Holy Week, on Triumphal Entry Sunday, to how it ended on Good Friday, but yet then it had Sunday that was still around the corner on Easter Sunday next week, that he rose from the dead and he knew he did it all for us. And that's what today is all about. We also want to encourage you to join us next Sunday for Easter Sunday. We'll be having communion as well as be taking in our confirmands, 17s into membership next Sunday on Easter Sunday. So please invite somebody to come with you to be a part of the celebration of our Lord and Savior as we celebrate the fact that he is resurrected, he is alive, and that we too are here because of that. Just a few reminders is that this Wednesday we'll be having a work day from 4 to 6 for those that can make it. We're going to be doing some mulching and some other things around the church, and then we're going to head downstairs to the meal at 6. We also have the meal at 6 as well right after that, so you can either help with a meal or help outside. We'd love to have you in either place helping or just come in, just enjoy the fellowship. We had about over 40-some individuals this past Wednesday as Sandy Heisey did a special music program for us, and it was a great time to be together and time of laughter and fun, and we just had a great time with Sandy and great time of fellowshipping. It was good to see people from the community. We had some new faces and was able to make some relationships connection. I know in talking to various individuals, there was one individual that was there that his wife had passed away several months ago, and he came and he was kind of at the senior center and he came to the meal and was able to make some connections there. So I encourage you to come on Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock. If you don't want to eat, just come and eat before you come, fellowship, but encourage you to be here on Wednesday night as well. Also, just a reminder that Good Friday is this Friday, and we'll be having a combined community service at Mount Zion AME Church, and that'll be 7 o'clock, and myself and 6 other pastors will be preaching on the 7 last words of Christ. It's going to be really cool. We're going to have some cool special music. It's going to be a really exciting time as we come to Good Friday. And I'm excited because it's not just an interfaith service, but it's an intercultural service where we're joining together with our brothers and sisters from the AME Church. So we're going to have some gospel music. We're going to have some good things that you know. And it's just going to be a way just to come together in Good Friday as a community to just celebrate our Lord and Savior as he enters into that time period where he dies on the cross for you and I as we prepare our hearts for Easter. So 7 o'clock, and that's at Mount Zion AME Church. We'd love to have you there. I do believe we'll be streaming online. If you're not able to make it, I will send out the Zoom link. So if you have Zoom, you can watch it online. So I'll make sure you get that information this week as well. If you're not able to attend the service, you can still be at home and watch it also. At this time, don't forget that if you're parents or teens, that right after the service we have rehearsal for next Sunday. And if there are any kids this morning that are here, you are dismissed, and you can head down to the kids' worship this morning with Jamie and Owen and have a great time continuing to grow and learn in your relationship with God as you continue to do fun things and just kind of grow and do some crafts together. And while they're headed out this morning, let's just prepare our hearts for worship. So let us pray together. Lord, we come before you now, and we give you thanks and praise for who you are and what you're doing in our lives, Lord. And we pray, God, that on this Palm Sunday, that we would take time to reflect what it really means, that you are a God who said, I am going to send my son to be born just a few months ago. And as the son was born just a few months ago, as we celebrated Christmas, it comes now to the time where we celebrate when he goes into Jerusalem and he knows what lies ahead, and he knows that on Good Friday, he's going to give his life for us, that he humbled himself, God. And help us to humble ourselves today and through this week as we go through Holy Week, especially Good Friday, that we remember the great sacrifice that he made for you and for me. We pray, God, that you would pour out your Spirit upon the offering that was collected this morning, and that your Spirit would be with us today, opening our hearts and our minds, that we might hear you speak to us. Amen. Before we begin our time of worship this morning, let us watch the screen for a video as we continue to get our hearts prepared to come to our Lord and Savior and give him worship together.
to see you here. I hope everybody got a palm as they came walking in. Tyler's in the back, and Tyler, if you want to just kind of walk up, if anybody would like one that did not get one, we'd like to use them during worship this morning. So my hands will be busy on the keyboard, but yours are free. And so during the worship songs, if you want to wave them around, just like the people did when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that day, we can join in that in remembrance of that. So please stand. Wave your hand and Tyler will bring that up to you. So join in worship as we sing Hosanna.
Lord, we lift up your name.
Wow, Hosanna, Hosanna, loud Hosanna. What an awesome day it is to be in the house of God. As we come this morning, I do want to let you know that Rich Gerfen was discharged from LGH, and he is now back at St. Anne's and will be going through some rehab. So please continue to keep Rich in your thoughts and your prayers as he'll be going through rehab, and hopefully he'll be back home with Lori. So just continue to think about him and send him a card or give him a call. I'm sure he would appreciate that. Let us pray together. Lord, we are here today because of you. It is Palm Sunday, and we come and we give you our praise. We sing, "O Lord, O Hosanna." Here we are because of you and because of what you've done. And so, God, we come before you now, and we ask, God, that you would speak to us, that we might hear your small, still voice this morning. And we pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, will be acceptable in thy sight, O God. Amen. We are going to be continuing our sermon series today on God Is. Next week, we will be taking a break and then pick up the Sunday after Easter. And we're talking this morning about how God is always seeing. We talked about the first week of how God is still speaking. We talked about how God is speaking through creation and how God speaks to us through the Bible. And last week, we talked about how God is still listening and how that God hears our prayers, and that sometimes when he might not hear our prayers because there's some obstacles in our way that we need to get out of our way in our relationship with God. And today we're going to be talking about how God is always seeing. That is the big idea this morning, is that with God always seeing, that we are not forgotten and that there is hope for you and I, because God sees everything. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, "Well, Pastor Tom, well, if God sees everything, then why am I going through that certain trial right now? Why am I going through that tough time in my life? Why can't I just catch a break?" Maybe you're sitting around here and you say, "Well, wait a second, you know, I'm working hard at my job, but the individuals who seem to cut corners seem to get ahead, and God is seeing, he sees all. Why doesn't God do something about those individuals that cut corners when I'm trying to do my best to get ahead and I'm working hard, but yet it doesn't seem like God sees it?" Or maybe we'll say, "You know, Pastor Tom, if God is seeing, then why are the things going on in the world? Why did Russia invade Ukraine? Why did he allow that to happen? Why did God allow COVID to happen? If God is seeing and always seeing, then why is it that he allowed these things to happen?" These are questions that we ask ourselves when it comes to the fact of God is seeing. And if he is, then why does it sometimes feel like he has turned a blind eye to us and he doesn't care? This morning, we're going to be looking at 1 Peter. And when we look at 1 Peter, we're looking at the fact that the Christians during this time period were expecting Jesus to come back right away. That Peter had gone and evangelized and had told them about the good news, had told them that Jesus had died and resurrected and that he had ascended to heaven and that he's coming back again. But the disciples, the apostles of this time, as well as the early Christians, what they were doing is they were saying, "Okay, well, it's going to be any day now that he'll come back." And so they began to live a life in a certain way, saying, "We can get through today and tomorrow because of the fact that Jesus has come back." And eventually that turned into months. And eventually that turned into years. And Jesus didn't come back, and the church got discouraged and said, "Why bother? Why do we even bother searching for Christ or following Christ? Because if he's not coming back, then why bother? Because God doesn't care about us. God doesn't care about our struggles." They were being persecuted. They were going through hardships. And they felt like that God had abandoned them. And so Peter had to remind them of the fact that God did not abandon them, that God is seeing what they were going through, that God knew what they were going through, and that they needed to continue to seek God's face even in the midst of those times where they didn't want to and they felt that God had left them. We're going to be looking at 1 Peter written in Asia Minor, which today would be modern-day Turkey, to give you a little glimpse of geography. So with this church that Peter is writing to would be in modern-day Turkey. And they're looking at the fact of how can we find encouragement in these tough days. And so Peter is writing to them. So this morning, let us look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking to devour someone. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you to be dominion forever and ever. This is a very common passage we hear in the church, don't we? We only hear the first part. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. That's the part that we focus on, and we leave out the rest, saying, wait a second, the devil is the one who wants to say give up and throw in the towel. So this morning, when we look at the idea of God seeing and still seeing, the question is, what exactly does he see? Well, first of all, God sees what we do. Nothing is hidden from God. We might think we can hide ourselves from God. We might think we're alone by ourselves and that the things we do by ourselves, nobody will notice. But the reality is that God sees what we do. Psalm 33, verses 13 through 15. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all of your deeds. God is sitting and he sees all we do. He sees all of our deeds. He is working behind the scenes in our lives for his plan to be carried out. And he is listening to us and watching us in everything we do. Proverbs 5:21, for a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord and he ponders his path. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on evil and good. 2 Chronicles 16, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. God sees everything. If you go back to Matthew, in Matthew when Jesus says, but you do the least of these, you do unto me. Matthew 6 says, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret rewards you. And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and attend the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, that they have received the reward. But when you pray, go in your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. So many times we say, well, we have to do this all in public so God can see us. But God says, well, what's our heart motivation? Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Meaning, what is our heart? Why are we doing it? Are we doing it for recognition? Are we doing it because we're called to do it and God sees us, even if nobody's around to see us, that God sees it and takes notice of it? When we pray, are we praying out in public so everybody can say, wow, look, they're a super spiritual Christian. Just look at them praying. Just listen to how they're praying. Or are we going by ourselves when nobody's around us and praying and seeing how God sees that in secret? In Matthew 25, we are learning that God sees us when we feed the hungry, we clothe the naked, and we visit the sick and the imprisoned. God notices these things even when we think nobody else does or God doesn't. He does, and he remembers us. God sees our actions and obedience, and he rewards that. The other thing that God sees is our disobedience and our sin. That God doesn't just see us when we're doing the good things, but he sees us when we disobey and when we sin. Jeremiah 16, for my eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from me, nor is their iniquity or their sin or disobedience concealed from my eyes. Psalm 90, you have set our iniquities, our disobedience, our sin before you, Our secret sins are in the light of your presence. We might think, you know, that we can sin in secret and nobody will know what our secret sins are except for us. But God sees them, he knows them, because God is present with us wherever we go, even when we think we're by ourselves and we commit those quote-unquote secret sins that nobody else will know. We think he won't notice when we're talking about somebody behind their back. We think he won't notice how we treat people when we're not in church. We think he won't notice, you know, when all of a sudden we're by ourselves in that room and we're on the computer and those links that pop up and we might click on different links, because nobody will notice because they're not here and they'll never know. He won't know if we turned a blind eye to somebody else. He won't know, and you can go on and fill in the blank to whatever that might be. Hebrews 4, and no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Psalm 121, he watches us. He does not slumber. Behold, he who keeps watch on Israel, whether slumbering or sleep, the Lord will watch your going out and your coming in for this time forth and forevermore. Nothing gets past him. He sees everything. He sees our faithfulness, our obedience, our unfaithfulness, and our disobedience. I was talking in the confirmation class last week about this and said, you know, when we get to heaven, I wonder if when Jesus says, well, welcome to heaven, whether God's going to say, okay, Jesus, I want you now to put in Pastor Tom's video cassette, and now let's watch Pastor Tom's video cassette of how he lived his entire life. And now Jesus puts play, and then all of a sudden that video of my entire life, the times I obeyed him, the times I disobeyed him, the times I faltered, the times that I was faithful, are being played for everybody in heaven to see, because nothing is hidden from God's eye. I wonder what that will be like in heaven. I wonder when we have to give an account for our actions before God, called the judgment seat of Christ, in which we as Christians will be held accountable for our actions and for how we have lived our lives on this earth, what that'll be like, because nothing is hidden from God's sight. And that is what Peter is saying here to believers in the church in Asia Minor, Turkey. He's saying that persecution's going on. God sees it. He knows what you're going through, but remain humble. Humble yourself before God. God sees it, and God will respond in his time. See, God sees all. God sees what we do not see. See, we see a limited perspective, and God sees the entire perspective. God sees what we don't see. God is in that position where he can move from creation of the world to being present here today to being back to when Satan gets judged and thrown into hell. That God can move back and forth from time and space because he sees from the beginning of creation to the end of time. God sees what we cannot see. We might think, well, are we sure about that? Scripture is very clear that to God, one day is like 1,000 years. God sees all. I remember when I was a kid and I always tried to get away with things. I might try to sneak in the kitchen to get a snack or something while my mom was in the living room. And I thought she was like folding laundry or watching TV. And I remember she would say, what are you doing in the kitchen? And I'd be like, how did you know I was in the kitchen? Or I would like think she was occupied with something else, you know, and I would try to, you know, sneak out of my room when I was grounded or something. She'd be like, what are you doing out of your room? I'm like, how did you know I was out of my room? You're in a totally different part of the apartment. How did you even know where I was at? My mom would say, well, son, that's because God gave moms a special ability. God put eyes in the back of all mom's head, so we can see in front of us and behind us, so we always see what's going on and what you're doing. And I actually began to check behind my mom's head just to make sure there wasn't a set of eyeballs back there. There wasn't. And I always said, how do you see what I'm doing even when you're not even looking at me? How do you know it? I guess this is something that comes with being a mom. You have that intuition when you know that your child is up to something they shouldn't be up to, and it kind of kicks in that sixth sense. But that's how God is. God might not seem like he's looking, but he is looking, because God sees all. He has that press view box of life. He has a different perspective than we do. Jeremiah 17, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind. Proverbs 21, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. I think back to Samuel when Saul had disobeyed because he deliberately went out and he was impatient and did not wait for Samuel to come to do a priestly rite. So he took it upon himself to hold and do that priestly rite, and that is when God hardened Saul's heart and left him and said, I'm going to go and call a new king. And you know how the story goes when Samuel goes to Jesse's house and calls all of the sons. And God says, nope, 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 nope. And Samuel goes, well, I don't know, God, that's it. And God says, oh, there's one more. And he says, well, Jesse's. Is this all your sons? Nope, there's David. You don't want David, though. He's small. He's a boy. He's out in the field. He stinks. He hasn't showered for many days. Trust me, you don't want him. And he says, go get him. And Samuel anoints David to be next king. And Jesse and his brothers are all flabbergasted saying, why him? I mean, look at him. He's not handsome. He's not even strong. And we find that God says to Samuel in 1 Samuel 16, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as a man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. God sees our heart. He sees beyond the outward appearance. He sees beyond what we do on a Sunday morning or we portray ourselves to be. He sees our hearts and he looks at our hearts. He sees what we do not see. He sees what other people do not see, which is our hearts and our intentions. We talked last week in the context of unanswered prayer and having the God that answers our prayer. And the reason that sometimes a God doesn't answer is because of our hearts. And God sees our hearts and he knows our heart's motivation when we pray to him. I think about it this way. You know, when you get on an airplane, you take off. I always wonder, how is it that you can take off, but yet you never ever pass another plane or you never come across another plane? And it's because of air traffic controllers. Air traffic controllers have that bird's eye view up in the tower. They have the different monitors following the beacons. They can see where the planes are at. And so they can tell the pilots, hey, you need to steer corrected and veer this way so that this other plane can come in and land. And so the air traffic controllers have that bird's eye view where the pilots have a very limited view. They can only see in front of them. They're seeing clouds and other things. They're trying to rely on their instruments. Or the air traffic controller can see the big picture and give instructions and directions to those pilots that are flying the planes so they can land safely. So God is. He is our air traffic controller. He is up in that tower saying, I see the big picture and I will tell you when it's okay to move and when you need to correct yourself because I see what you do not see. God sees all the pieces that are in play. He sees what will bring harm to us. He sees what will bring the most joy to us. He sees the cause and effect, the things that we don't see or understand. Romans chapter 8. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. Why do we believe that? Because God sees the big picture. God is doing probably a million things behind the scenes in our life we don't know about, and we only see the three things that he might be doing while he's doing a million other things. God sees everything. Ephesians chapter 6 reminds us the second part of that verse from 1 Peter about casting our cares, that God sees Satan who is prowling and roaring like a lion. In Ephesians 6, we are encouraged to put on the whole armor of God that we can stand against the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the authorities, against the cosmic powers, the present darkness, and the spiritual pain. That God says, I've equipped you because I see what Satan is trying to do to you. You might not be aware of it, you might not see it, but I do, and I've equipped you to give you the whole armor of God so you can stand firm and resist him when you don't understand. God sees what has us down. God is very aware in 1 Peter of the believers that are struggling, their persecution, doesn't catch him by surprise, folks. Nothing catches God by surprise. God doesn't go like, ooh, guess what? I didn't see that coming. Oh, man. Maybe I should have been paying attention instead of watching that commercial for that new latest thing. You know, nothing catches God off guard. In the midst of our hardship or our pain or confusion or tears, God sees us. Go back to the Old Testament with me for a minute. When an angel comes to Abraham and says, guess what? You and Sarah are going to have a child. And what does Sarah do? She laughs. That's funny, God. You got a good sense of humor. I am too old. There's no way I'm going to have a child. So what does Sarah do? She says, obviously God must have been sleeping in heaven for a little bit because he must have forgotten how old he was and he must not be able to see the fact that I cannot conceive a child. So God must have somehow kind of like fell off his rocker. So Abraham, I want you to go and I want you to sleep with our handmaiden Hagar. That way we can have a son because obviously God's vision needs to be corrected. He needs that LASIK surgery or something, Abraham. So go and have a son with Hagar because Sarah didn't believe. And all of a sudden, what do we find? And all of a sudden, Sarah goes, oh, guess what, Abraham? Guess what? I guess God didn't need LASIK surgery after all because I'm going to be bearing you a son also. And Sarah begins to freak out. And as a result, Hagar leaves because Sarah treats her so horribly. And Hagar leaves Abraham and Sarah's presence, and she's in the desert wandering. And what does she find herself to be but a broken woman? She's tired, alone. She's crying. She has absolutely nothing. Her property value is gone. She is nothing to anybody. And what do we find? That the angel of the Lord appears to Hagar and tells Hagar, go back to Abraham and Sarah, for the angel of the Lord has seen you, and you will prosper. Genesis 16, Hagar goes back and says, so she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, and Hagar says, you are a seeing God, for truly I have seen him who looks after me. That God revealed himself to Hagar and said, I see what happened with Abraham and Sarah. I saw their disbelief. I saw how they're treating you. I see your pain, your torment. Go back, and I promise in due time, it'll be okay. This is the God who sees. And eventually what happens, we know, is that Sarah does kick Hagar and Ishmael out. But God says to Hagar and Ishmael, I see what's going on still, and I will protect you, Hagar and Ishmael. I will protect you, and as a result of protecting you, also Ishmael, that I will give you over to many lands as well. That God saw Hagar and Ishmael's distress and protected them. What's weighing on your heart this morning? Is it a secret sin that you might be struggling with? Is it an addiction? Is it an illness or injury? Is it a death of a loved one? Broken relationship? A job you felt you deserved but you might not have gotten? A family dynamic that you thought would play out a little bit differently than you might have had in your mind? Are you trying to control things that are getting out of control? What is it that's weighing on your heart this morning that God sees and he wants to help? Casting our anxieties on him because he cares for us. Psalm 56, you kept a count of my tossings and you put my tears in your bottle. God sees every tear that we shed, our suffering. In 1 Peter 5:10, and after you have suffered a little, God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. These are words that are going to be said to the confirmands next Sunday as they are taken in the membership. That God will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Because that is a God who sees and a God who has called us to put our faith and trust in him, knowing that he sees all. Think about Palm Sunday. God knew the people's hearts that were laying the palms down in front of Jesus. He knew they were not calling him Hosanna, Hosanna, because they were saying, you are our Savior and you're going to spiritually free us from oppression. No, he knew in their hearts what their expectations were of Jesus. He knew what was going to happen on Palm Sunday. He saw how it was going to play out. He knew that same crowd and saw that same crowd on Palm Sunday was praising Jesus on Good Friday would say, "Crucify him. We can't stand him. Please do something with him." God saw what happened. God separated himself from God, from Jesus when Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Because God, at that point, saw all of the sin of the entire world from that point on till the end of time being put on Jesus. And he couldn't look at Jesus because he saw all the sin that his son was bearing for you and me. He saw every single sin across every single time, space, continuum. He saw the fact that his son was pierced and gave up the spirit, put in the grave. He saw he was resurrected again. See, God sees all. But when we think about Holy Week, God didn't intervene and say, "Okay, wait a second, Jesus, don't do that." When it comes to Good Friday and they say, "Crucify him," he doesn't say, "All right, my son's being persecuted. Send down a legion of angels to take care of him." He didn't say when his son's side was pierced, "Okay, now I'm going to resurrect you right from the cross." But yet come the third day on Easter Sunday, folks, next Sunday when we celebrate Easter, God said in his time, seeing everything that transpired during Holy Week, "It is over. You have conquered sin. You have conquered death. It is finished." Why? Because God sees the big picture. See, God sees the truth of what we do and what has us down, and he sees what Jesus has done for us. Colossians 3, "For you have died, and your life is hidden in Christ God, and Christ who is your life appears, then you appear from glory." Then when God sees us, he sees Christ because of what he's done for us this Holy Week. I remember when I was a little kid, and I thought this was kind of like a little silly song, but I thought about it last night a little bit more, and I was like, wow, this actually is a song that I think applies well. And maybe you know this song, "Oh, Be Careful, Little Eyes." You know how the song goes, right? "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see, for the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear, for the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say, for the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little tongue, of what you say. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do, for the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go, for the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little heart, whom you trust, for the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little heart, whom you trust." And the last chorus says, "Be careful, little mind, what you think, for the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little mind, what you think." Nothing is hidden from God's sight. We can't fake things with God. We can fake things with each other. We can pretend to be something that we're not. We can fake things with other people. We can fake it here on Sunday mornings that, you know, we have a relationship with God in order and things are great. We can fake it on Sunday mornings. We can fake it in our relationships. We can fake it in our family. We can fake it at our job. We can do a real good job of faking things, but we can't fake it before God, folks. God sees things, and nothing is hidden from his sight. It's time for the church universal to stop faking things. And it's time for us to realize that God sees us and wants to restore us and bring us back into relationship with him. Because we can fool ourselves and we can fool others, but we can never fool God.
Thank you for that word this morning. We appreciate it. Please stand as we continue in worshiping. As we sing the song "Hosanna" again, if you have your branches and want to wave them, feel free. There's freedom here. So join us in worship. I see the King of glory coming on the clouds with fire. The whole earth shakes, the whole earth shakes. I see his love and mercy washing.
Hard to believe that it's Palm Sunday. It's hard to believe that as we reflect on the week that Christ had and we go, man, I'm not having such a good week. Well, think about Jesus. His week didn't go so well this week either. He ended up dying on the cross for us. And that's the hope that we have, knowing that God sees all things. And the last part of that verse in 1 Peter saying that we'll be restored, confirmed, and strengthened. See, it's hard sometimes to keep things in perspective because we are so overwhelmed with things and we can only see just a little bit of the picture. Where God takes a step back and he sees it all and he says, I see what you're going through and I know it but in my time, not yours. So as we leave this place today, let us go and let us think about this week and think about all that Jesus went through, and let us not just praise his name on Palm Sunday or Easter Sunday, but every single day knowing that God sees. He sees what we do in secret, not just in public, for nothing is hidden from him. May the grace and peace of God the Father and God the Son go with you now and forevermore. And before we leave, as we close the service, let's sing that one more time as we end on Palm Sunday, leaving, singing, "Oh, praise the name." On this Palm Sunday.
Praise the name. Oh, praise the name.